flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so this time last year, this is relevant because the Texans are looking for an offensive coordinator right now. Something that this time a year ago, I don't think we would have imagined that this is where they would be based on how year one went. Nothing, you know, nothing's perfect. There was obviously always a chance, but I think the hope was that the Texans would be ascending offensively, that Bobby Slowick would be getting just as many looks at head coaching jobs this year as he was last year when he had, I think, five or six interviews for head coaching jobs. So he came back here this time a year ago. Everybody celebrated. He got a big raise, reportedly. And C.J. Stroud was going to have his offensive coordinator again. Gerard Johnson interviewed for a bunch of OC jobs. He came back for another year. The O-line was going to be healthy again. It wasn't very healthy in 2023, but you'd have virtually all your guys back there. Dalton Schultz was brought back on a three-year deal. So the big theme last year, Seth, I remember talking about it, was all this continuity that there was going to be from year one to year two.
Yeah, I guess there was continuity, but I don't know. I mean, there was the interior offensive line was still a question. I think I was optimistic that Shaq Mason maybe had been banged up or just there were reasons that he wasn't quite the same guy he'd been previously in his career. Kenyon Green was going to be a huge question mark, and I was trying to put my faith in, you know, Casario and everybody else's opinion of him, that they seem to be very bullish on him. Mm-hmm. Remember, he had his reinvented physique. He did look a lot better in the non-padded portions of training camp.
Slender,
I remember when he was running around in no pads, I was like, wow, look at that. He does look different.
Who is that?
And then all of a sudden, the Texans' defensive line looked like they had four all-pros. That was the X factor there, but I don't think you would have expected the offensive line to take a step back.
No.
Necessarily.
No.
That was at the very least, all right, the pass protection might be okay, and they won't take a step back. At least they'll get better. We don't know how good they'll be.
Yeah, it almost felt like there was no area of the offense that you were doing one of two things. You were either bringing guys back who could have left in some fashion.
Yeah.
Or you were upgrading positions, like bringing in Stephon Diggs or bringing in Joe Mixon. Like, it felt like they had set themselves up to where intuitively the odds of going backwards would be very, very low, you know?
Right, of going backwards.
Of going backwards.
The question was, can they progress? The biggest question was, all right, can Bobby Slowick engineer a run game? And he failed, even with Joe Mixon coming in, I would have thought, well, all right, they'll probably be better just because Joe Mixon is there, but they won't be worse.
Yeah.
But in terms of success rate, they were atrocious running the football. And if it weren't for Joe Mixon, it would have been twice as bad this year. Yeah, I didn't expect everything to be as bad as it was in the second half of the season, especially.
Yeah, your points on the O-line. I think of the three things I just listed, O-line, Slowick, I'll throw Gerard Johnson in there, so call it coaching, and Schultz.
Yeah.
The O-line, I think, was the one that was probably the most rickety when it came to continuity being a thing, just because there were still so many moving parts and guys coming back from injury. Your point on Slowick is great, that like they weren't actually good at certain things in 2023 even.
Yeah, and I kept people got angry at me some last year because I would point out that, you know, they weren't a genuinely good offense. They were a promising offense, but I felt that's why I got nervous about people talking about having 3 1,000-yard receivers and all of that, because they still had to prove that they were a genuinely good offense, and a big part of that was just having a competent, dependable run game. And but yeah, I didn't expect them to fall so short of it.
Schultz is absolutely something that I think, or someone that was brought back, where continuity and chemistry with C.J. Stroud was the main selling point for him.
Yeah,
I mean, because in retrospect, it's an overpay for Dalton Schultz right now. 3 years,
for 36. Sure. I mean, yeah. I think Dalton Schultz is what Cowboys fans said he was. That's the most annoying part of all of this, is that the Cowboys might made the right move in going to their young stud there over Dalton Schultz. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have expected Dalton Schultz to... It's not like I expect him to be a good blocker all of a sudden, but he looked like he was a willing blocker. Mm-hmm. And by the end of the season, it looked like that was the last thing he wanted to do was block. And he was so bad at it.
Yeah.
That part is disappointing, because I felt like, all right, well, he is what he is. And he ends up with basically the same receiving numbers this year as last. 100 yards fewer receptions, but 53 receptions this year, 59 receptions last year. That was a big, especially after having paid him what you did, that was a big disappointment.
The big thing, if I recall, and it sounds like you got the numbers in front of you there, but what I recall from his first year is he was a much more reliable red zone target than he was.
Like he had two touchdowns this year compared to five in 2020.
Okay, so I mean, it's not like he was Travis Kelce or anything, but he was, two and a half times the touchdowns, I guess, yeah.
I'll tell you what the eyeball would tell you, though, too, was that in 2023, I think we saw him bulldoze people at the first down markers and at the goal line, whereas this year it almost felt like he was kind of leaning into maybe getting a first down sometimes. It just looked like he lost power. Maybe ultimately there were injury issues above and beyond your standard stuff. That would be the silver lining, as if, okay, it was a rough year, but there was a reason for it. But he just didn't seem as physical a player.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere. You know, anytime you and I bring up the offensive line or Schultz or, you know, any other number of players who disappointed, and there aren't that many, to be fair. Like the Texans, you know, they on defense, I can't think of one where people are like, get rid of this guy. But on offense, there are a handful. I don't think Schultz is going anywhere. Like, I think he maybe like C.J. Stroud is this offseason. If he feels like it, maybe he needs to do some soul searching a little bit.
He is a good weapon in the receiving game, and he can be adequate enough as a blocker if you've got somebody else that's actually a primo stud.
Yeah.
And right now, whether it's a draft pick or maybe if Cade Stover continues to develop, I have to keep reminding myself that Brevin Jordan is coming back.
Yeah.
So at least you've got some diversity there. Just by having multiple guys who are threats on offense, that helps each one of them. There's a synergistic effect there. If you've got multiple tight ends that teams have to game plan for, then you can see a better version of him, perhaps. It just certainly wasn't it this year.
No. Here was C.J. Stroud a year ago talking about Gerard Johnson, Texans quarterback coach.
Yeah, Gerard, I've known Gerard since I was 16. I was in the Elite 11 with him. He was my quarterback coach there. And one thing, man, I can say about Gerard, man, is like, when you talk about someone who knows how to play the quarterback and knows how to relay something, but also just a great person, man, a guy who loves football. He loves Houston. He loves Texas. He loves his family. He's a great family man, and somebody who's taught me just a tremendous amount of information. But on top of that, man, put a lot of confidence into me as well. Like when I was 16 at Elite 11, we did like this little like circle group. It was like all the quarterbacks in my group. And Gerard's one thing for me was like, be confident. Cause he, at that time, like I wasn't really the highest recruit. I wasn't, who I would become, you know what I'm saying? And I always knew that it would be a possibility, but I didn't hear it out. Like those type of, the Gerard's one I looked up to, like he played at Texas A&M. I knew that. And stuff like that. And when he was like, man, you need to be more confident. Like, and that was just like, it changed my life, you know what I'm saying? And from there, like, fast forward, I'm here with him my rookie year. It's been just a blessing to work with him. And I'm, whatever happens, man, I'm excited for him. And he deserves everything that's coming for him. And I'm super blessed to be able to work with him.
Yeah, I guess I think all those things can be true. And yet at the same time, the dynamic that concerns me most about a candidate like Gerard is that I think he's got a very promising future, and yet he's never been a play caller in college or the NFL. And being an offensive coordinator is way more than about just the quarterback position or even calling plays. It's that you've got to be coaching the offensive line, you've got to be coaching the wide receivers. And I think that his best spot right now is either as an offensive coordinator for a team that has an offensive-minded head coach or has a defensive coach that's got lots of time and experience. But I don't... We've just seen a promising and bright young offensive coordinator go through an extreme learning curve, and I don't want my offensive coordinator to be going through a learning curve in year one. I need somebody that can has run the whole show before and can not just be an influence on the quarterback, but be an influence on everybody. Now maybe Draw Johnson ends up being that guy. You never know, because there's all kinds of great future offensive coordinators out there that are going to get their first job at some point. The Texans right now just don't feel like that team. It feels like it made sense with Bobby Slowick if you looked at it as, all right, well, this is going to be a rebuild and it might take a few years. And then all of a sudden they're contenders after year one. Mm-hmm. And man, I ain't got no time for Bobby Slowick's learning curve. And right, I don't feel like I want to be a part of any first-time offensive coordinators learning curves right now with where the team is.
If you were the OC that they picked and you were sitting down with Gerard Johnson talking about, forget about OC, talk about bringing him back as a quarterback's coach, how much would that relationship that we just heard CJ talking about factor into his evaluation for you?
Oh, well, bring him back for, yeah, it'd for be QB great. Coach. Yeah, that'd be awesome if they want to bring him back as the quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got no opposition to that. There's right. zero. So if anybody misunderstood that, yeah, I don't. It's not like I want Gerard Johnson out of the building.
No. I'm just wondering, like, would it be a huge factor for you that he's got the relationship with C.J. Stroud as opposed to other candidates to be the QB? I mean, the position.
Oh yeah. I mean, if the guy's just adamantly, especially if C.J. Stroud is saying it or something, then yeah.
Because you pointed out before, like Gerard Johnson and Bill Lazor are the ones that spend the most time with C.J. of all these guys. You know, like that's what I'm trying to make the distinction. Between the QB coach and the OC. Payne and Pendergast.
I mean, that's the biggest thing if you think about it. It's not just the play calling. It's that you're coaching the entire offense.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal. I think Bobby Slowick was a passing game coordinator in San Francisco. And we were just wondering, all right, is he going to show any competence at all in the run game? And those guys looked completely lost for answers and handling simple things like a slanting defensive tackle.
Yeah.
They had no answers for something that every team in the NFL does, and that was frustrating. And was it Chris Trouser's fault? Was it Bobby Slowick's fault? Who knows? We're not in the room every day, but they did. That combo certainly wasn't getting it done.
No. Someone says on the text page, don't forget the Texans had George Fant last year, much better run blocker than Tunsil or Titus Howard. Is that accurate? Was Fant a better run blocker last year? I don't remember.
Titus Howard or who? Than Tunsil?
Or Tunsil.
Oh, yeah, but the problem with the run blocking wasn't the offensive tackles. It was the interior offensive line. So, no, I mean, maybe, sure, George Fant might have made a difference.
Yeah.
But it's not – that's – and it was – look, it wasn't just the actual physical play. It was the way that they were picking up blitzes and stunts in games in both the run and pass game that they just looked completely lost. There was just no cohesion whatsoever. And even some of the rules, when I would just send stuff out to some of my O-line people, some of the rules for how you handle slants and stunts by the defensive linemen, guys were having a really hard time figuring out exactly how the Texans were trying to handle it. It was a discombobulated mess.
Yep. C.J. Stroud will not be going to the Pro Bowl, according to DJ Bienemay. He was offered the opportunity to, but DJ frames it as DJ thinks this is the beginning of CJ's offseason of putting his head down and going to work.
Yeah, sorry, I'm still stuck on the George Fant thing. Like, George Fant was there with Laremy Tunsil as well.
Yeah.
All right, George Fant's a better run blocker than Laremy Tunsil, but he played. Laremy Tunsil was on both these teams. All right.
My favorite part about the George Fant text is that it starts with, don't forget.
Yeah.
I like, don't forget.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Forget.
No, yeah, no, I do. There is something to be said for the fact that, hey, George Fant being there as a swing tackle was a big bonus when they had all those injuries and Titus had to move down to guard. Yes, I would. If on the sum total of things, would I have rather had Blake Fisher or George Fant in the playoff game? I would have rather had George Fant.
Right. Yeah. But I don't think, like, it's not like this time a year ago, we're like, you got to hold on to George Fant or else the whole castle is going to come crumbling down.
I was nervous about the prospect of a rookie playing. It was nice to have George Fant.
Yeah.
It was really nice to have George Fant. But ultimately, you got to hope that you can draft guys that can play that role.
Yep. So no CJ in the Pro Bowl this year. So you won't be getting your, not you, Seth, the audience, you won't be getting your Twitter moments where he's throwing, running away from his arm, dropping it in the bucket to Ja'Marr Chase for a touchdown. So
yeah. So DJ Bieniemy, when he tweeted this out, said that, how did he frame it?
He said he thinks it's the beginning of CJ's offseason of putting his head down and going to work.
Yeah. So there you go. Or at the very least, healing up completely.
Yeah.
Whatever CJ's injuries were at the end of the season, it seemed like if they had been affecting his accuracy, it seemed by the time the playoffs rolled around that he must have been feeling better because he looked a lot more like the old, precise CJ Stroud. But even though you don't do much at the Pro Bowl these days and the only thing that's close to football is the 7-on-7, I could see him probably feeling like, no, I need it. Like, he doesn't need to be in the phase right now where he's got his head down and working, but he might need to be recuperating.
Yeah.
And that a week in Orlando, you know, not to mention, who knows how many water slides he'd go on and subject himself to harm. How long would he stand in the line to get on the log ride, you know?
I'm genuinely curious how visible he is this offseason compared to last season where he was everywhere for, you know, where was he in Japan or China? He was in Japan.
They did an Asian tour. I think they went to more than just Japan.
Yeah, I think they did.
I think they might have been in China also.
They were definitely in Japan. They did some sumo wrestling there, so that would speak to Japan. He's going to vacation. He's going to go places, but he was doing stuff with Micah Parsons where clearly the big purpose of it was to generate content and, you know, draw attention.
Right, it was all part of publicity stuff for whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just curious
how much of that we think he does.
I think we probably, you know what, speaking of keeping a low profile, I wonder if another name that starts to surface at all is Byron Leftwich. Because Byron Leftwich, after he left Tampa, I guess he took a year off to basically travel with his son, who's a basketball player, to AAU tournaments and everything.
Oh, cool.
And at some point, he's expressed a desire to get back into coaching.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't, you know, he might be a victim of having been Tom Brady's offensive coordinator on working underneath Bruce Arians, because people are going to wonder, all right, how much, you know, how much was that really you and all that? But I don't know. I haven't seen his name in any interviews or anything like that.
I've seen his name. I haven't seen him in any with the Texans. And maybe now, maybe I've seen his name on like lists that people put together.
Yeah.
Like I've not, to your point, I haven't seen any team put out a graphic yet where they're like, we just completed our interview with Byron Leftwich.
The Patriots interviewed Byron Leftwich.
Did they? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's the only one I've seen, is that a few weeks ago the Patriots interviewed Byron Leftwich. Oh, that was for head coach.
For head coach. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And they hired Mike Vrabel. Okay.
That's right. Yeah, because I don't think McDaniels was even interviewed. I think Vrabel just
plucked him.
Pulled him in. Yeah. Yep. I don't think they went through interviews.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a... what's today? Tuesday. Okay, up next, there's three teams right now on the odds board that are basically even for Alex Bregman. We'll let you know who they are. Are the Astros in the mix? And there's also rumors out there as to what exactly Bregman is looking for. We will get to that coming up next.